Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I want to go back to Romans chapter 12. You know, I think it was last week we were there. We may have been there some other times. I'm not sure. But we're in a series on renewing the mind. This morning, what I want to talk about is washing your mind. You know, just like your body needs a bath every Saturday, so does your mind needs a bath more than that. Amen? And so I want to talk to you just a little bit about that today before we receive communion. You know, how many of y'all, you at least take a bath every other Saturday? Now why do we do that? Why do we do that? I don't know, because mom makes me, but you know, that's why I used to do it as a kid, you know, because I got made to. But you do that because you get dirty. I saw, and I showed the picture to, I think, Phyllis and maybe Pastor Debbie and Brother Greg one time. I think it was them I showed it to. There's a guy who has not bathed in over 50 years. Now, how many want to sit next to that guy at church? See, why? Because there's some stuff on him you don't want to get off on you, right? And it just showed a picture. Bless the guy. I don't know. The guy just, he felt like it was unhealthy to something like that. I read the article, and he felt like it was unhealthy or something to bathe. But boy, I tell you what, I certainly wouldn't want to ride to Louisville with this guy in the car because he was filthy. But, you know, your mind, you know, even though you're born again, your mind has to be, it has to be washed. Amen. So let's go here to Romans. Now, I'm going to look at a few passages this morning, but we're going to begin in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by all the mercies that God has shown to us, because he's been so merciful to us, that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it's just reasonable for God to ask us to present our bodies to him as a sacrifice. Amen? What does that mean? Well, it means to keep our bodies holy and pure and in service for the King. Amen. Now, so he said it's just reasonable. It's not unreasonable. You know why it's reasonable? Because God actually bought you by the blood of Jesus. Corinthians tells us you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Your body doesn't belong to you when you get born again. Now, we're not taught that much, but the truth of the matter is we don't own our body any longer. Right. Amen. It belongs to God. Amen. Right? Now, you know, we hear today, and, you know, you may not, I know nobody here is going to get offended, but people watching this could get offended at this, but I really don't care. I'm beyond caring who gets offended any longer, you know, because I figure out everybody's offended except people that have their minds renewed. Most America's offended right now. But you see these signs, you know, about abortion. It's my body. Yeah, it's your body, but the body in you isn't your body.
That's right.
That's somebody else's body.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's a body God created, see. That's not your body. That's somebody else's body.
Right.
Amen. So, if you don't want the child, have the child, and there's plenty of people who will take it. You could slip it in our nursery, we wouldn't even know it. Bring it on. Hallelujah. Just remember, no child left behind. Amen. Now, so, because we actually have had that happen, that people have left their kids here and went home. Yes. And so, you know, they left two of them. All right, moving right along. I'm not mentioning names because I don't want, you know, what's the service that comes and get your kids, whatever. I don't want them coming, but anyway, who are those parents? Child Protective Services that come. Now, I mean, it's just your reasonable service, right? That you give your body to God. That means my body, I keep it holy, see, and I put it in service. Now, the next thing he told us to do, he said, bring your body. But the next thing he said to do is be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So when we become believers, there's two things that God asks of us, requires of us, and that is to present our bodies. Amen. So I don't let my body do what it used to do. I don't let it do that because it doesn't belong to me any longer. I don't let my body be lazy either. When it comes to spiritual things, I make my body do what it's supposed to do. Body, you are getting up this morning. Body, you are going to church. Body, you are going to pray. Body, you are going to read the Bible. Body, you are going, you get it, right? This isn't legalism. This is putting my body in service to God, see? Now, the next thing he says is you bring your body, then you bring your mind. You renew your mind. You notice he doesn't say anything about your spirit. That's because a born-again believer, their spirit's already been taken care of. It was born again. But now we have a responsibility to do something with our mind. And he said the thing we do with our mind is, first of all, don't be conformed to this world or literally this age. Or in a way to modernize this, to say this the way you would understand a little bit better, maybe is to say it like this, to the culture of today. You know, cultures change. Let me know that. Yeah. Cultures change like in the last 20, 25 years, you know. I mean, things have changed. And so culture changes, but let me know the word stays the same. Right. So, and guess who? This is not going to be hard for you to guess, I hope. Guess who's the God of this world? Well, if Satan's the God of this world, who wants to think like the world? It's got to be wrong thinking. Yeah, right. Now, does that mean every idea that the world has is wrong? Well, not necessarily, because some of the ideas that the world uses, they got from the Bible. Right. You know, the book that they want to outlaw, some of them still live by part of it. Where do we learn all these right and wrongs like that? You shall not murder. You shall not, you know what I'm saying? Right. And all these things. And you know, you shall not steal. And so where did all that come from? That came from the Word of God. It's amazing how many people want to get rid of the Word of God, and you hear them talk and they use language that came out of the Bible. Businesses are run by principles that came out of the Word of God. That's where we got it. Where do you think certain things came from, like in our legal system and so forth? It came out of God's Word. The book that they say we don't need any longer. But yet there's still, some of them are still living by some of the principles in there, because if we weren't living by some of the principles of the Bible, we would destruct. So we're still living by some of the principles of the Word of God. But yet things are changing, things are evolving, and it's a constant, you know, evolving of you know, society. I think about this morning. Now this is, you know, this is something that's been going on the last, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, whatever, where you have athletes kneeling for the anthem. Now, how many think, just to show you how culture evolves, let's go back 30 years ago, and if they'd have done that, how many they'd have been done for? That'd been it. You didn't even think about that. What do you think about it? Well, listen to me. We're in America. We have a right to speak our mind, but don't disrespect our flag and don't disrespect our country to do it. Amen. Now you're going to get me sassy. I really have a hard time taking that from people making millions and millions of dollars a year and tell me they're oppressed. Come on. When you're making, you know, 100 times more than what I make or whatever, maybe more than that, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And you're telling me you're oppressed? I don't want to hear from you. That's good preaching. Praise God. Now, let's move on. So what we have to do is, you know, the world thinks wrong about a lot of things. You know, about money. Right? See, there's a big argument going on in our country now. They're trying to push through a $3.5 trillion bill so they can spend $3.5 trillion, and we're 20 $7 trillion in debt. That can't be good thinking. There's no way this works. This doesn't work. But if people don't care, because they don't care because a lot of those people are so old, they're going to be, by the time payday comes, they're going to be gone. Really? But our kids are going to be here. Our grandkids are going to be here. And there's going to be a mess on somebody's hand at some point because this can't keep going this way. You understand what I'm saying? So even financially, just like, should I, you know what I'm saying? The Bible gives us wisdom on finances. The Bible gives us wisdom on family. The Bible gives us wisdom on marriage. The Bible gives us wisdom on a lot of things. It gives us wisdom on anything we need to know about. You can find the wisdom of God in the Bible about it. And so you can go there and have your minds renewed to what the Word says. And anything the world tells you or anything the world's pushing you, you automatically have to run it against the Word and see if it is acceptable to the Bible. See, that's what, be not conformed to this world. Don't just automatically think the way they think. Well, of course, it's okay for Christians to smoke marijuana. It's legal. Let me help you out with this. A lot of things are legal that aren't all right with God. Amen? And so, But you'll be amazed, really. See, some of you looking at me funny, but you say, why are you preaching on this? Because it needs to be preached on, because there are Christians right now that don't know any more than that, that they think because it's legal with the government, it's okay for the church to do it. Amen. You say, well, what's wrong with marijuana? Well, listen, let me just help you out. As a former drug user, I have a little bit of knowledge about this. And I happen to know what it does to your life and what it leads you into is not good. So, see, the Bible, I don't know why I come to this church. I can't smoke pot. I can't. You know what? You can do what you want to. We may butt heads over it, but you could, you know what I'm saying? The thing of it is we have to go back to what the Bible teaches us. Well, there's no place in the Bible. Like one guy said, he said, you know, the Bible, it might have been Willie Nelson, said the Bible said God saw everything he made and it was good. So it's good. Well, there's a lot of things in this world that you shouldn't put in your body because they mess up the temple of God. Yeah. Amen. So you have to watch that. So what I'm saying to you is we get our minds, if we're not watchful, our minds can get conformed to the world. Now, notice what Paul said. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How many would like to have the will of God going on in your life? How many, it's good. It's perfect. It's acceptable. God's will is what you want going on in your life. Now, how do you get that? You have to renew your mind to His will. You have to renew your mind to His will. One of the things that marriage is renewing of the mind. Right? See, you know, somebody gets married and they're not willing to change, they're going to have a hard time in their marriage. Because now it's not just one person, it's two people. When it's just you, you can do everything the way you want to do it. But once you get married, it changes, and we have to become one. See, we have to become one. And so our minds have to be renewed. You know, there are certain things that you know, when Phyllis and I got married, she didn't like it a certain way, and maybe certain things I didn't like a certain way. So we didn't fight over those things. We renewed our minds. I knew I shouldn't have talked about marriage. It's always, I know better than this. I've been at this almost 40 years. It's always dangerous to talk about marriage, children, and money. What are you looking for, Pastor? I'm just looking for something to lighten the levity here a little bit. Red Skelton said this. He said, I asked my wife where she wanted to go for her anniversary. She said, somewhere I haven't been in a long time. So he said, I suggested the kitchen. Now, you know, you have to renew your mind when you get married, because things, you can't, it's not your way any longer, it's our way, right? So you have to renew your mind. You have to change the way you think. And you have to be willing to give. Amen? Yes. Right? Now, so this thing about the mind is the mind has to be, let me say it like this way. The mind has to be continually renewed. It has to be kept renewed. Because if not, it starts getting conformed. It starts thinking like the world. And the only thing that will renew your mind is by the Word of God. Whether that's actually picking up a hard copy of it, electronic copy of it, or you hear somebody preaching it, or you're around other believers that are living it, but there's some way or another, the Word of God is renewing your mind. You know, when you come to church and you get around other believers and you start talking to one another and they're talking scripturally about how things are done, it starts renewing your mind because it's the Word of God. So you have to have your mind renewed. Your mind has to be washed on a regular basis, or not. If it's not, it starts getting conformed and starts thinking things the wrong way. Amen. And most people's problems, when you think about it, it's in their mind. It really is. You know. Now let's go to John. John's Gospel, chapter 13, because I want to talk about this. I've got just, you know, a few minutes here that I want to talk about this, about washing your mind, about how you do that, what you should do, and is this really in the Bible? Well, it's interesting. I was reading John 13 one day. And I was reading about Jesus and him washing his disciples' feet. And as I was reading that story, I realized there's something deeper here than just washing feet. Now you understand, Jesus was teaching, one thing he was teaching was servanthood. Okay? Because he preached on servanthood. You know, his disciples had a rivalry thing. Peter and John had a rivalry thing. Amen. It's really discernible in the scriptures where you can see that Peter and John kind of butted heads maybe a little bit. That, you know, they had personalities, they rubbed one another the wrong way. And you'll see like, you know, Peter is the guy that took the sword and cut off the servant's high priest, the servant of the high priest's ear. Remember that when they came to get Jesus, one of Jesus' disciples took a sword, cut off the servant's of the high priest's right ear. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not tell you who it was, but John does. It was Peter. When they ran to the tomb, one of them lets you know he outran the other one. John made mention that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. What do you think Peter thought when he read the book of John? The what? The disciple that Jesus loved. He loved me too. So there was, you know, and we find that they were debating who's going to be at the right hand of Jesus, who's going to have authority in the coming kingdom. Jesus had tried to teach them. It's not this way, guys. If you're going to be the greatest, you're going to be the servant of all. So it's not the way you think it is. The way that you go up in God's elevator is push the down button. So it's not that way. And they're not getting it. So he does something here that is so radically different that it just blows them away. And Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. Because in those days, you know, they wore sandals and they walked these dusty trails. And so their feet would get dirty. Their feet would sweat, and you're walking in, and the dust would collect on your feet, and nobody likes toe jam that I know of, and there all that is. And when you would go into someone's house, the person's house that you went to, their servant would wash your feet. It was a servant's job. It wasn't the owner of the house's job. It wasn't the guest's job. It was a servant's job. So the servant would come and wash the feet, and that was considered a menial job. So Jesus isn't getting through to them, so he decides, I'm just going to show them by example. So in John 13, verse 1, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
He says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose from supper, he laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Peter, and Peter said, Lord, do you wash my feet, or are you intending to wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do now you don't know, but you'll know hereafter. Peter said unto him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus said to him, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Now that let me know this is something deeper than just natural washing of the feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. See, he's talking about something spiritually. In other words, if I don't cleanse you spiritually, you don't have any part with me. Now, he went on to say this. He said in verse 9, and Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. In other words, Peter said, if that's the case, wash me all over. Jesus said to him, now listen to this, he that is washed needs not to wash his feet, but is clean every bit. You are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you're not all clean. Now, understand, there's something deeper here than the natural. When he says, you're not all clean, he's talking about Judas. You're not all spiritually clean. Now, interesting, he said, he that's washed, he that's been cleansed, he that's had a bath, he doesn't need, you know, to wash everything again. He's been out on those dusty trails. He's walked to the store or the market. He's come back. His feet are dirty. But he washed that morning. So he doesn't need to wash his whole being. He just needs to wash his feet. Now, the Lord showed me. He said, life is like that. You go out. You're born again. You're clean. You're one of his. He's cleansed you. Amen. And you go out in life. But when you go out in life, there's things out there that will pollute your mind. And your mind has to be washed on a regular basis. Because there's things that you know, you don't have to be trying. You're going to hear things that you don't want to hear. You're going to see things that you don't want to see. There's going to be all kinds of things. You know, listen, there's all kinds of unbelief and doubt and all kinds of things that come our way out there in the world. And you know, things that are just perverted, frankly. But thank God, we can wash it off of us. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, every day, you know, you can't keep from seeing things, hearing things. You live out in the world, right? So you can't, but you can do something to where that doesn't start renewing your mind to think the wrong way. Amen. See, our minds can be trained. And either the world's going to train them or the Word's going to train them. I don't understand, you know, because I've endeavored to keep my mind renewed for all these. I've endeavored to keep my mind renewed. I don't understand how some people think the way they think. I don't get it. I don't understand how you can think that this even makes any sense. It doesn't make any sense. So to them, because their minds haven't been renewed, that it makes sense to them. But once your mind's renewed, it doesn't make any sense. So you have to keep your mind renewed. Amen? Amen. Now let's go to John 15. Go there, John 15. John 15. And I want to read one verse, and then we're going to go to Ephesians. John 15, verse number 3. Jesus said, "Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you." So what's going to clean us? It's going to be the word, see? So the word will cleanse. Now go to Ephesians, because there's a few scriptures I want to look at real quickly here. Ephesians chapter 5, go there. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. You say, "Well, Pastor, this is so simple." You know, it is, but you have to be reminded that you have to keep, that you have to keep your mind renewed, or you start thinking, right? See, even Christians, they if they don't keep their mind renewed, they'll come into a church like ours and think, "Man, they're weird." But we don't think we're weird. We think we're normal. Now, what's the difference? Well, it's a matter of what you've been doing with your mind. It's a matter of what you've been doing with your mind. See, I saw this, or I read this one time. People can be trained. You know, people can be trained to believe anything. It just it slowly begins. You know, like propaganda. They're washing your mind. We call it brainwashing. Yeah. You know. But you just slowly begin to think things. But thank God we got a compass, right? And if we keep in this, we automatically spit stuff out that we know. That doesn't line up with the word. Amen. But I saw this, it was about a chimpanzee, a monkey. And I'm not calling anybody a monkey today. But it was about a monkey. And this monkey had only been around all of its life, basically humans, and been treated like a human. It was an experiment they were doing, you know, to see, you know, different things about, you know, animals and how they think. And so they showed this thing. They had a stack of pictures, and they had pictures of people. And then they had pictures of other chimpanzees. And then they had an actual picture of that chimpanzee. Now, these little guys are pretty sharp just on their own. You know what I'm saying? You know, they're pretty smart. And so, you know, this little chimpanzee, he's seen himself all of his life in a mirror and stuff. So he'd just been basically living like a human. And they showed this little guy, and he would separate those pictures. He would take the... They'd give him a stack of photos. I don't remember how many there were, but there were so many. And he would take the photos of the humans and put them in one pile. And then he'd take the photos of the chimpanzees and put them in a separate pile. But when he got to his photo, he'd put it in with the humans. Because he'd been so trained, that's what he thought he was. Amen. But guess what? He's still a chimpanzee. Amen. See, his mind had been renewed. Our minds can be renewed to think anything. I'm trying to stay out of politics today, but I don't know, it just keeps coming up. But we just recently saw a presidential election and all with people that absolutely, unemphatically, unabashedly, unashamedly declared, "I'm a socialist." And they got a lot of votes. Did you know 30 years ago, 20 years ago, they wouldn't even got considered? But people's minds are slowly being renewed. One of my friends, Dr. Ingolf Schmidt from Germany, he comes here and he says, "You know what?" He said, "I see the same thing in your country. It happened in my country." He was from East Germany, or he is from East Germany. Well, it's not East Germany now, but it was where he grew up. He said, "I see the same thing." It doesn't happen overnight. People's minds slowly get... See, that's what happens to believers that don't keep their mind in the Word. They slowly get conformed to this world and don't even know it. And people like us that keep our minds renewed, they just think, well, we're just over the top. We're super spiritual. No, we're normal. Everybody say normal. Now go to Ephesians. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to look at about three verses here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it." Isn't that a great scripture? Yeah, well, I don't ever like to read that without going down to verse 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, back to verse 26. That he might sanctify, notice this, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So how's Jesus going to clean the church up? Wash it by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So the way that God is going to have a glorious church is by the church keep being washed by the word of God. Right. Hallelujah. So we keep our minds renewed. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Exodus. I think it's our last scripture today. Exodus chapter 30. Go there. Exodus 30. Why do you have to preach on this, Pastor? Well, we have to be reminded the word's important in our life. Amen. Because Paul said, you know, he said it this way. He said, the Spirit says expressly, emphatically, and in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, and went on to say, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, when he says some shall depart from the faith, it means that that some in the church will depart from the Bible. See, you don't depart from the faith without departing from the Bible. When you depart from the Word, you start departing from the faith. So some shall depart from the faith. Well, as long as we stay in the Word, we're not going to depart from the faith. Now the Lord, you know, and I know maybe you get tired of me saying this, but it's just the truth. Over the last 2-3 years, the Lord has really hammered down on me, said, son, you need to talk about that because there is a great falling away, or there is a falling away coming. The Bible talks about a falling away in the last days. And the Bible talks about there'll come a time when people won't endure sound doctrine, but after their own desires shall heap together teachers having itching ears that will tell them what they want to hear. He said, you need to do that because he said a lot of people don't think that could happen to them, and it's happening to them. They're slowly departing from the Word. Amen. Right? Now listen, now let me just give you an example. There is, and I'll leave them a name because they're good people, but and I don't want to slander anybody, but there is a Pentecostal denomination that is, you know what Pentecostal is? That means we believe in the experience of Pentecost. And this denomination, they now say, now listen to this, you know what? How many know what Pentecost is? Baptism in the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in other tongues, right? They say now in this Pentecostal denomination, it's one of the top ones in America, they say now, if I remember right, they're about 83% of them don't speak in tongues any longer. What happened? Well, they stopped preaching on it. People's minds stopped being renewed. Amen? And that happens in a lot of areas where we stop preaching on the Word, then our minds no longer think about that. Our minds aren't being renewed. You have to keep your mind renewed. Amen? Healing's the same way. You have to keep your mind renewed to healing. God wants us healed and well, but you'll lose that if you don't keep your mind renewed to that. Amen? Now, all right, so here in, did I tell you go to Exodus? Go to chapter 30, verse 17. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, you shall also make a laver of brass. This is, he's telling him how to put together the tabernacle. You shall make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash. And you shall put it in between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet at it. That's just what Jesus had water in a basin, right? See, what we're seeing here, and I'll show you this, is this is something that is a type of what we're to do in the New Testament. Verse 19, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn with offering made by fire unto the Lord. They shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not. It shall be a statute forever to them and unto him and his seed throughout all their generations. So here God said in the tabernacle, put this basin in there, and when Aaron and his sons come in there, the priest and the high priest there to wash in that basin their hands and their feet, that they die not. That they die not. Now, that is the Old Testament type of washing with the Word. And he gives the reason, which is really good. He gives the reason why we do it, that we die not. Now, he's not talking about physical death. Remember, the Bible told us in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if we don't keep our minds renewed, what happens? Death starts entering into our life. Which is why, you know, the devil gets a foothold or a stronghold in people's lives is because they don't keep their minds renewed and they're not able to walk in what God has for them. Death starts to enter in. I try to keep my mind renewed. You know, I know about healing. How many know I know about healing? I've taught serious on healing. I mean, I taught one Wednesday night, 18 services, 18 weeks on healing. Every Wednesday night for 18 weeks, I taught on healing. So, how many know to do that? You have to know something about it, but yet you have to keep your mind renewed. Amen? You know, pain has a way of trying to conform you. Come on. You ever had pain? It has a way of trying to conform you that maybe this healing stuff isn't so. But you have to keep your mind renewed. Right? See, I wrote a little, and I'm going to preach on it someday. I won't tell you because it won't be a real popular message. But I wrote about, and this isn't a word, I'm going to use a word that's not a word, but I do that sometimes because I just figure somebody made some of these words up. Why can't I make a few up? But how many have ever heard a message on God, the God of suddenlies? I've preached on the God of suddenlies. Isn't that an exciting message? Every time, and I haven't preached on it that much, but every time I preached on God of suddenlies, everybody got excited. Unlike you are today. But God is also a God of gradualies. Gradualies isn't a word, but it just fits. So he's a God of gradualies. What does that mean? Well, some things in life don't come suddenly, right? They come gradually. As a matter of fact, God does more gradualies than he does suddenlies. At least in my life, that's the way it's been. You know, I wish God would do everything just like immediately. Bam, bam. But some things are gradually. Well, what do you do when he's a God of gradually and he's not a God of suddenly? You have to keep your mind renewed. You have to keep, that's why you keep feeding on the scripture. It's not like you're trying to convince yourself that God's a healer. You're just keeping your mind renewed to it so your mind doesn't give way and faint. You got to keep your mind propped up with the Word. And so I'll just, like I've got a Bible, it's not this one, but I've got one at home because I'm believing God for healing in some areas. And I've got all the healing scriptures, like see that little tab. I got a little tab, you may not be able to see it, but I got a little tab in this Bible marking something. And I've got those little tabs all on those healing scriptures. I think I got 27 of them, 29 of them. That's the way I can just grab those tabs, flip to those, read those healing scriptures. Now, I'm not doing that because I'm trying to discover or figure out if God's a God of healing. I already know God's a God of healing, but my mind needs some help because pain has a way of making your mind forget. Right? And so I have to do this. So I have to keep my mind renewed and my mind trained. No, listen, man's not your answer. Amen. Thank God for everything doctors can do, but they're not your answer. God's Word's your answer. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I mean, you know, I've been to the doctor before. I'm not against doctors. And thank God for what they can do. But most of the time that I've been to the doctors, all they told me was something I already knew and already knew about it. So they didn't really do anything for me, you know. You know what I'm saying? I had some issues with my feet from running, you know, in the Achilles, and I went to a couple doctors over that. And you know what they told me to do? They told me to do what I already knew to do just by reading about it myself. Right. Mm-hmm. So they're not the answer. God's the answer. Yes. Right? And so, you know, I did all the stretching, all the exercise and all that. Not faithfully. You know, nobody does that faithfully. You know that. Of course not. But some. But you just become, you realize, listen, my only answer is in God. I'm not talking just for that problem, but other problems. My only answer is God. God's my only answer. They might be able to give you some medicine to control it or something like that, or maybe make you feel a little better, a little less pain or whatever. And thank God for all that. I'm against not feeling pain. But that doesn't fix it. Only God's the answer. So I have to keep my mind renewed to that. You know what I'm saying? Because I got one issue and it's very painful. It's painful all the time. It's not just painful once in a while. It's painful 24/7 if I'm awake. It's painful. And, you know, and if I do a certain thing, it's really painful. And every time it gets really painful and I don't even try, I'll just go, oh! And when that happens, my mind will like go, what about this healing stuff? Nah, it's got to be renewed. So you get back in the Word of God. Are you hearing me? Yeah. You're not going to tell me what to think. I'm going to tell you what to think. You're not going to tell me God's not my healer. He's my healer. Yeah. How do I know that? He already has healed me of different things. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. So I'm not going to listen. I'm going to listen to the Word of God. So I have to tell my mind, man, mind, just shut up. No. You're not going to be conformed to that. You're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. So I realize I have to keep this up. How long do you have to do it, Pastor? Renew your mind? Till all of my life. I only kept renewing my mind. Keep it renewed. I don't want to think like the world. Why? Because they don't have any answers. But God's Word has an answer for everything. Even our own Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, kept His mind renewed. You ever hear the phrase, I've got to stop, but have you ever heard the phrase, the silent ears? Yeah. What are the silent ears? The silent ears are like, we know from 12 to when Jesus stepped out in his ministry, they were called the silent ears. Nobody knew what he was doing, but yet the Bible does reveal to us what he was doing. In Psalm 119, 97 through 105, it talks about what Jesus was doing. He said, I meditated the scriptures daily. That's what he was doing. He was meditating the Word of God daily. We know it wasn't David because he said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. David wrote Psalm 119, but David didn't keep his feet from every evil way, did he? Right? So it wasn't David. You know, he said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Remember that? Jesus was teaching in the temple and he was teaching the teachers. This is prophetic about Jesus. But one of the things it said was he said, I meditated the word every day. Your scriptures have been my meditation every day. Do you know that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man? What's that tell you? He wasn't just born and bam, he knew everything. He had to learn, just like you have to learn. Now, that shocks people. But the Bible says he grew in wisdom. Well, you can't grow in wisdom if you already are walking in all wisdom there is. Now, was he God? He was God, but he wasn't operating as God. He was operating as a human being, a man. He was God, always was God. But he took on a body. There was a day Jesus was reading Isaiah chapter 61. Where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Remember that scripture? How many remember that scripture? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised. There was a day Jesus was reading that scripture and all of a sudden he realized, that's me. Can you imagine that? That's me. And when he went out in his ministry, the first sermon he preached was in his hometown. And he walks in that synagogue and he's handed the book of Isaiah. He opens the book and finds the place where it's written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering a sight to the blind. He hands the book back to the attendant. All the eyes are fastened on him. He goes and sits down, and he says to the people, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, right here is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 61. I'm it. And they were just as thrilled as you are. Thank God there's no cliffs out here. The Bible said they took him and they went to throw him off a cliff because they knew exactly what he said. They knew what he was saying. He was saying, I am it. I'm Messiah. I'm Isaiah 61. Where did he get that at? He got that from meditating the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.